Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter, Resurrection Sunday. You guys are quiet. Hi. There, it's much better. Much more gooder, Braylon. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. You guys look amazing. You happy to be here? I got to know, how many had breakfast here this morning? Raise them like you mean it. Be proud. I was like, yeah, wasn't it amazing? Oh, my gosh. It was such good food. And it still smells like bacon. That's heaven right there. Just so you know, heaven is going to smell like bacon. Yeah. What'd you say? Or lattes. Yeah. Bacon and lattes. Hey, it's heaven. It's big enough for everything. Oh, my gosh. We're excited to be here today celebrating Resurrection Sunday. It is just a really good day to be alive. Amen. Amen. And how many of you have stopped and got your picture at the backdrop yet? My wife has dressed me for our pictures. You can pray for me. It's going to be a long one. When you're married to somebody that's a photographer, it has to be perfect. And when you have two little boys, both with ADHD, just pray for me. Just pray for me. Now, I'm excited to be here. We're celebrating Resurrection Sunday, the day that changed everything. Now, I know that it is Easter Sunday, and I know that you have family. You probably have hams in the oven or whatever it is that you eat. That's, if it's not pork, lamb. Who does lamb? Sweet. Lamb. Who does prime rib? I'm coming to your house. So no, I'm kidding. But I know we got a lot going on today, so I promise, cross my heart, we will not be long. My children's pastor is mad at me because I won't be long, because they don't ever get enough time to do their stuff, which I don't get, but it is what it is. So let me just do this. Let it start back. We started this last week. We're in a series called Flannel Graph Easter, and you're going, what in the world's flannel graph? Well, I'm going to explain. We're going back. How many of you are 30 and older? Oh, I'm time, pause, interlude. Next Sunday, I've got Erin back there holding signs up. Next Sunday, she is my brain most days. If it's not her, it's my wife, it's her. They keep my brain in place. Next Sunday is our church potluck. So if you haven't signed up to bring a dish, it's back at the Welcome Center. You forgot too. You're the boss. So we want to encourage you to stay for potluck dinner following our morning gathering. If you want to bring something, sign up at the Welcome Center. It's a lot of fun. Good? Sweet. Okay. How many are 30 or older? We just unpause. All right. How many of you grew up going to church and Sunday school? How many of you that didn't grow up in church necessarily went to Sunday school sometimes with grandma or grandpa or something like that? Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. It's all good. Cool. It's all good. It's like, there's no shame. There's none. All right? So we're going to go back to those times. I remember Sunday school going, and you would walk into the classroom, and there was these little metal chairs, or maybe it was wood chairs. You guys following me? You walk in, and there's all these chairs, and then you're over here looking at the wall, and they've put all this bright bulletin board paper all over the walls, and you have a teacher that's got a huge smile on her face and an even bigger Bible, and she looks like she's got the best, greatest story in the world to tell you in Sunday school. You guys remember those days? And I remember my Sunday school teacher, one of them as a kid. And her name was Miss Dorothy. And she was the sweetest lady, but she was the type that you'd be getting out of line a little bit, and she'd go, ahem. You didn't cross Miss Dorothy, But she did it. She never raised her voice. It was just a, which I think is a mom thing. I think God it blessed all ladies with the mom or the look. Okay, moms, give me the look. You're not a mom. You can't do that. Oh, yeah. I got one blushing over here. You got the look, right? We all have, they have the look. It's just that, or over the glasses. It's like, you know, you're done, right? And that was Miss Dorothy. And then maybe you had, this is aging some of us, maybe you had a flannel board like this, right? You had the flannel board. Ours was way bigger because it was in the 80s. 80s was the best and everything was bigger. So you had the flannel board and you had the empty tomb and you had Mary at the tomb and Jesus and an angel and all the stuff, right? You guys remember that? All right, I'm taking you way back. Some of us way, way back. So like back in the 1900s. Right? And maybe you got there and on the table was a coloring sheet that had the empty tomb and it had crosses and it had bright sunshine and it had bold letters across saying, "He is risen." Indeed. Isn't this cool? Can I just tell you that not all AI is bad, because that's what created this. I typed it in. Hey, I want a coloring sheet that has these things in it. And poof, there it is. It's crazy. And then you got to color. I didn't give any of this to Callie. I made her do her own thing. So you have this stuff like this, right? And that was Sunday school. And then you have this whole story of the empty tomb and Jesus coming back and Jesus won, right? He conquered sin and death and Jesus is alive and all of that stuff. And when I was a kid, I remember that being enough, right? It was enough. Jesus rose from the dead, the tomb is empty, and we won. He won. And there's really something beautiful about seeing Easter that way, right? That children's wonder. You guys remember that? You guys remember seeing your own kids through their eyes of that? It's beautiful that the tomb is empty. And the wild, the childlike wonder of thinking about that. And Jesus really is alive. And there's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, that's beautiful. The tomb really is empty. Jesus really is alive. And the resurrection really does change everything. But here's where sometimes we, as adults especially, miss it. We miss this story. We miss this account of Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection. We miss the resurrection piece that not everybody was celebrating yet, right? Not everybody was celebrating right away. Because in those first few hours after the resurrection, people were still grieving. People were still afraid, and people were still, they were confused. Mary, we got it right here, it's a little tiny one, but Mary at the tomb, and she was weeping at the tomb, right? The disciples, the brave studs that they were behind locked doors hiding, right? People were confused about all of this and discouraged, leaving Jerusalem in great discouragement. And maybe, just maybe, that's where you are today. You've come here today. Maybe you believe that this is true, but life still feels heavy. Maybe you're not even sure what you believe yet. Maybe you did come with faith, full of faith. Maybe you came with questions. But here's the good news of it all is Easter is not only about what happened to Jesus over 2,000 years ago. It's about the risen Jesus and what he does for people now. He comes to the grieving people. He comes to the fearful people. He comes to the discouraged people. And the big truth today is the absence of Jesus in the tomb means the presence of Jesus in our lives. It's what separates Christianity from all other world religions. is that Jesus rose from the dead. The one true living God. Everyone else that claimed to be a God still buried. It's about Jesus not being in the tomb. He isn't there. He's here, right? His scripture says that where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. Another scripture says that he inhabits the praises of his people. What did we just do? We just praised his name. Jesus is here. He's alive. He's present and near, which means not whatever it is that you come in carrying today, your pain, your questions, your grief, you're not facing it alone. Because resurrection didn't just change eternity. It changed our reality today. And when grief binds you and blinds you, Jesus is calling your name. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with loss that it was hard to see what God was doing, much less God? Anybody ever been there? That's where Mary was, right? That's where Mary was. Mary was grieving at the tomb. She was the first one down. She gets down there. And it's where she was at. She wasn't rebellious. She was grieving. And grief does that. It messes with us, right? It fixes your eyes on what was and makes it hard to see what can be or what will be. Let's check it out in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 16. I believe I will have them on the screen. It says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. They asked her, and I love this, woman. It's the only time I can get away with saying that. There might be another flogging. I don't know. No. Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, what's it say? Woman. I love scripture. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. I love that. He just said Mary. And she recognized her Lord's voice. Mary loved Jesus. Now, Mary watched as he was hung on a cross, watched him die. She stood at the cross, helpless, heartbroken, watching the one who had changed her life take his final breath. There was no doubt in her mind that Jesus was gone. He was dead. So when she came to the tomb, obviously you would think she's expecting to find the body, right? Came to the tomb, found it empty, and her first thought wasn't, he's resurrected. No. Thought the gardener swiped it. Swiped the body, took him, right? She experienced loss. She thought it was lost, that the body was stolen. And even when Jesus himself was standing in front of her, she did not recognize him. That's what grief can do. Grief can cloud your vision. Grief narrows your focus, and it makes it hard to see hope, even when hope is standing right in front of you. Then Jesus said the one word. Let's say it together. Ready? One, two, three. Mary. Oh, come on. Let's say it again like you mean it. Mary. One more time. I want to hear way back in the back. Mary. And she knew instantly that that was Jesus. And everything changed, right? Everything changed. Jesus did not shame her. He did not say, "Woman, you didn't even recognize me. What's up? Come on." No, he didn't rebuke her. He met her personally and tenderly. And that's still how Jesus works today. Maybe you came in this morning carrying grief today. Maybe you have lost someone. Maybe you have lost a dream. Maybe you have lost peace in your life. Can I just tell you that Jesus is not absent in our grief? He's present in it. Psalm says that he comes to bind the brokenhearted. Jesus does not kick us to the curb when we're walking through grief. He's there present in it. The empty tomb does not mean that your grief is not real. It means that your grief is not final. But grief is not the only thing that can keep us stuck. Sometimes it's not grief. Sometimes it's fear. Mary was weeping at the tomb. And like I said before, the disciples were hiding in a room. That rhymes. I'm going to say it again because that was fun. Mary was weeping at a tomb. The disciples were hiding in a room. You can call me Dr. Seuss. I'm kidding. There's different struggles, but the same need. They needed Jesus to come near. And maybe that's where some of us are today. Grief is one place, fear is another. But the good news is that Jesus doesn't stay distant. He comes close. That's the whole story of the Easter, is he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and then rose from the dead. God has orchestrated all of that so Jesus could draw us near, right? That's what it's about. But when fear locks you in, Jesus speaks peace. And we'll pick up John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now, okay, so it's Sunday evening. They have witnessed Jesus die on a cross, breathe his last breath, say it is finished, give up his spirit, and then they take him down, they put him in a tomb, and then they're hiding because they're afraid, right? The disciples were hiding behind locked doors. And I've often asked myself, why? Why? Because fear, right? Fear locked them in. Fear of what might happen, fear of what could come next. Maybe the Jewish leaders were going to come and kill them. Fear that everything that they had thought was going to be had just fallen apart. And fear does that. Would you agree? Fear messes a lot of things up. It closes doors. It shrinks your world to very small. And it makes hiding feel safer than trust. But then Jesus steps through the door. I think that would have been crazy to see. I've watched way too many movies in my life probably, but that's how my brain works now. And just imagining being a disciple, and you're up there, and you're all like having a game plan. Well, what if the religious leaders, who's going to pop this guy? Who's going to, you know, they're trying to figure out their game plan. What happens? And then all of a sudden, somebody that wasn't in the room locked there with you is now in the room. No wonder Jesus said, "Peace be with you." That'd make your belly button pucker. Think about it, right? Peace be with you. The first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth was that. Right there in the middle of their fear. Not a lecture, not a rebuke, not a sitting there, "You guys are just little stinking cowards. Man, I took all that for you and you're hiding out like chickens." There was none of that. No lecture, nothing. How long? I mean, he's done his own share of lecturing to the disciples. Let me kid you. They The one time in Mark chapter 9, we read the account of the disciples were trying to heal this boy, and they weren't. And Jesus comes back, and he says, how long do I have to be with you? How many times do I have to tell you? Right? He lectured. Not in this moment. This moment was peace. Just peace. Then he shows them his hands and his side, just to let him know that it really was him. And suddenly the scripture says they had joy, overjoyed when they saw that it was the Lord. Some people are living emotionally behind locked doors. Fear about family, fear about health, fear about the future, fear that things will never change. And for some, that fear might even go a little bit deeper. Can God really forgive me for the things that I've done? Can God really love me? Can Jesus really meet someone like me? And the answer of Easter is simple. Yes. Yes. I promise you, if he can meet somebody like me, who was a wretched, wretched human being for a lot of years, he will meet anybody. Jesus still steps into fearful places. He still comes into locked rooms, and he still says, peace be with you. So first, Jesus calls your name in grief. Then Jesus speaks peace in fear. But sometimes people are not weeping and they're not hiding. Sometimes they're just tired. Anybody tired today? Sometimes they're just tired from disappointment and they quickly walk away. And when discouragement begins to pull us away, Jesus walks with you. Let me show you this in Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 16 should be on the screen. It says, two of them were walking to a village called Emmaus. They are followers of Jesus, these two dudes, talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So we see these two followers of Jesus, probably some level of disciple, doesn't say in scripture. We know that they were followers of Jesus. And we learned last week that there was many, 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 many people there on the triumphal entry, right? And they were bringing palm branches, and they were yelling, Hosanna! Hosanna! Which, what does that mean? Somebody remind me. Save us now. Right? They thought that Jesus was coming to save them from the Romans. Right? These two guys probably could have fallen in that group. And they were on their way to a village called Emmaus. And they were talking, according to scripture, talking about everything that had just happened. And they were walking. I can imagine them processing out loud it all. And Jesus comes walking up alongside and walks with them. It doesn't say for how long. It doesn't give us any indication of that. But it says they didn't recognize him either. And I think that that's fascinating, but that's for another message. We won't get into that one because I promised I'd be short. So no tangents. Right? And they were walking, they didn't recognize him, but they were followers of Jesus. It says it in scripture. And they had hoped that he was the one. Maybe they hoped that he was the Messiah that was coming to rescue them from the Romans. I don't know. But they came, but then come the cross, right? And I can imagine the confusion and the disappointment. So they did what discouraged people do. They started walking away. Away from Jerusalem, away from what they thought God was doing. And while they were walking away, Jesus came near and walked with them. And they didn't recognize they didn't recognize Jesus, but he was with them. And I would think that he was with them for quite a while. That's what I believe. He's walking with them for quite a while. They're processing. I could imagine Jesus going, "Oh my goodness." Right? That's just my imagination. It's not scripture. But he's walking with them. And because discouragement doesn't always, it doesn't always look dramatic, right? You've been around those people that discouragement's just dramatic, right? It's not always dramatic. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes you are discouraged and disappointed, but you still show up and you still smile and you still go through the motions. But deep inside, you feel tired and you feel worn down and you feel disappointment and you feel a heaviness on your soul. And maybe that's where some of you came in today feeling. Maybe you feel, I don't know, far from God. Maybe you feel that you are not sure what to believe anymore. Maybe you're wondering if he still even knows your name. And if there is hope for you. And again, here's the good news this morning. Even when discouragement pulls you away, Scripture says Jesus walks with you. He walks with you. He doesn't kick you to the curb. He comes near. He speaks truth. He helps to open your eyes. And he reminds us that when we feel like that, it's not the end, right? It's not the end. And he reminds us through his word and through his presence that he is always there. And the crazy thing about it is, and one of the things that I've learned in my relatively long life is that we have as much of God as we want. Right? We have as much of God as we want. Some of us try to put God in this nice little tiny box where it fits on our nightstand, and we take him out when we need something. And that's perfect because I can live my life the way that I want and blah, 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 and here it is. And God, you just stay right here and I'll come and get you when I need you. And there's some of that. And there's some of us that go the next step and they're like, you know what, I like God and I love God and I know he loves me and I know he died on a cross for my sins and I'm forgiven of my sins. But God and the things of God just are in my life because when it's convenient, maybe. And then there's the whole state. And then you have those that won't ever miss church. They take it to the far extreme. And even when they're on vacation, they will drive 6 hours to go find a church so they can be in church because that's what we're supposed to do. And everything in between, right? There's always, in everything that we do, there's always the pendulum swing, right? Would you agree with that? And somewhere within that pendulum swing, each one of us find our place. But the one thing that I do know is regardless of where we are on that pendulum swing, God loves you. Right where you are, he loves you. But I also know that he doesn't want you to stay where he found you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow and embrace life that he died on the cross for. So let me wrap this up. I told you, it's gonna be quick. We're gonna land the plane because everything that we've talked about so far leads right here to the presence of Jesus that changed everything. Callie's gonna be so mad. So I want to recap this and see if you can see a pattern. Okay, you ready? Are you with me? If you're with me, say uh-huh. All right, I know the bacon smell is really getting us. I'm going, oh, I'm glad my microphone's up here, not down here, because you'd hear it grumbling. All right, let's see the pattern. When grief blinds you, Jesus calls your name. When fear locks you in, Jesus speaks peace. When discouragement pulls you away, Jesus walks with you. You see a pattern? What's the pattern? Jesus is always with you. That's Easter. That's Easter in a nutshell. Yes, the tomb is empty and the stone was rolled away. That's right. Yes, Jesus is risen, and that's why we're here to celebrate today. And yes, death and sin was defeated. But Easter, did I scare her? I'm sorry if I scared her. If I scared you, I'm sorry, little one. You're okay. There might be some bacon left. That makes everything better. But Easter isn't just about an event or something that we remember once a year. It's about a Savior who is alive. It's about Jesus that comes near, that he comes near to the grieving people. He comes near to the fearful people. He comes near to discouraged people. He comes near to people who have known him all their lives. And he comes near to people who are still searching. And that means this, that the absence of Jesus in the tomb means the presence of Jesus in our lives. Friends and family, Jesus is not dead. He's not distant. He's alive, and he is here. So let me ask you this morning. What if the resurrection isn't just a story to admire? But an invitation to receive. What if Jesus isn't just someone to learn about, but someone that we can place our trust in? Maybe you're here today and you came unsure about this whole thing. Maybe you came out of tradition because grandma wanted you to. Or mom wanted you to. Or maybe you came because you're hurting. Or maybe because you know that you need hope. Can I just say this and you hear it? I want you to hear this. Jesus came to earth for you. Jesus suffered and died a violent death because he loves you. And Jesus rose from the grave for you. For you. He lived for you. He died for you, and again, he rose again so sin, shame, and death wouldn't have the final word in your life. Easter isn't about earning your way to God. It's about coming to God. It's about God, no. It's about God coming near to you through Jesus. And the same Jesus who met people in their grief, who met people hiding behind locked doors, who met the discouraged walking away, is still meeting people today, right where you are. He is alive. He is near, and he is inviting each of us to respond to that today. And for some of you, it's the first time that you are even close to putting your trust in him. And for others, it's maybe time for you to come back. So if you need hope, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. If you need peace, Jesus says, come to me. If you need forgiveness, Jesus says, come to me. Because the tomb is empty. Hope is alive. And I think even the best news that I could share with you today is because Jesus is alive, yours and my story doesn't have to have an end. Right? It doesn't have to have an end. And what do I mean by that? It means that we don't stay in grief. We don't stay in fear. We don't stay discouraged. We don't stay beaten and broken down. It doesn't have to stay the same. And if you remember nothing else other than this, remember this. Jesus is alive. Yes. And he is with you. And here's where I know Marty's going to catch in. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Bow your hearts with me. Stand with me first and let's bow our hearts and let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the hope of Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for the tomb being empty. Jesus is alive and your presence is still meeting people today. And God, I pray for those who are carrying grief, I pray that you would speak their name. For those battling fear, I pray, Lord, that you would speak peace to them. For those weighted down by discouragement, remind them that you are walking with them. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see you. Open our hearts to trust you and open our lives to respond to you. And for anyone here who does not know you yet, draw them to you, Jesus, today. Your word promises that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is resurrected and he is Lord, there's salvation. We're saved. And God, I just pray that you would draw them to Jesus today. God, thank you that because Jesus lives, hope is alive. And I pray this in your precious and holy Son, Jesus' name. And everyone would say, amen and amen. Let's sing together.